Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday. Praise be, Lord. And welcome to G's Power Hour. I Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. A little overcast, a little stormy off and on today, but, you know, we need, to get that water as well as the sunlight to see what God and nature have put together on this earth for us to enjoy. And the person that's going to help us know what to do with some of that stuff, back with us this month from Harry P. Lou Gardens in Central Florida, it's Mr. Robert Bowden, Executive Director of Lou Gardens. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Wasn't that a nice shower we had? I know the plants are happy with that.
I like that. It's good, like good sleeping weather for me. So, anyway, thanks for coming back. How have things been at the garden? A little bit odd, right?
Your listeners may not know this, but the gardens are open free of charge until the end of April. Now, I don't know if that's going to be extended or not, but it's a great opportunity to come in and see the gardens with no admission fee attached to it. So with all of this rain that we've had, and there's lots of pretty flowers out there to see.
Oh, cool. That is great. Yeah. Because I know, you know, people are getting a little stir-crazy and everything like that right about now. So that's a good opportunity.
That was a decision made by Mayor Dyer. You know, the gardens is operated by the city of Orlando. And he may be taking a little bit of flack for that because, you know, people get a little paranoid. And, you shouldn't have people collect. Well, we had nearly 1,000 people last Saturday, and I was there Saturday and Sunday just to talk with the guests as they came through. And there's 50 acres out here, and we're open from 9 to 5, so everybody was practicing good distance, and it wasn't an issue. So I know a lot of people are going a little stir crazy, and this would be a great place to visit during that time.
Oh, cool. Yeah, our anniversary is coming up next week, so maybe we'll come and hang out. Sounds like a good thing to do.
Yeah, it's good through the last day of April, as far as we know.
Okay. So, I've been trying to do a little something. I got some palettes. I got a couple. I think I might get another one, but I'm kind of checking things out right now to see how things are going to go so far. So, what is coming up and what surprised me the most is some cantaloupe from seeds of a cantaloupe that I had eaten. And I saved the seeds and, you know, just put those out there. And I was like, okay, I really didn't expect anything from them. And a lot of stuff I put out there, I didn't even know if it was a season or not. But some seeds I discovered that I had for a while, and I bought some other ones without knowing realizing I had other seeds, and I still have some seeds I have not planted. So, there's some cantaloupe, looks like some onions coming up, possibly.
Really?
Possibly some peppers.
Well, look at you.
And let's see, some okra and some Swiss chard and some corn. But what's not coming up? Well, there are some surprises, and there are some that are not surprises. I have some areas that just nothing happened with, absolutely nothing. Like maybe I had bad seeds. And then, I did not do what I guess what I was supposed to do was to put the seeds in, I guess, the little peat pots or something first. But anyway, so tell me, I think I've sent you some pictures. I sent you also some pictures of some house plants because I went and got a few house plants because I'm trying to get some greenery back and trying not to kill it. But I had a question in terms of when you get these plants from the big box stores and they have the labeling on there that talks about lighting, like low light, medium light, high light or full sun or whatever, or partial sun, all of that. Can you tell me what that means and how much is low or, you know, little sun, how much is medium and how much is full? Well, obviously I know what full sun is, but...
Yeah, that it's hard to quantify. And keep in mind that many of those houseplants that are in the houseplant department can actually mm-hmm. be grown here outdoors. So keep
right.
that in mind. They're, and it seems like the houseplants are certainly cheaper than buying landscape plants. So there's quite a few of those houseplants because we're so fortunate to live in Florida. That can actually be grown outdoors. So buy them in the houseplant department, and you're going to spend a lot less money for them.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's a wonderful little ground cover called strawberry begonia. And, you know, everywhere else it's grown as a houseplant. It's very attractive, and it kind of puts in these long little threads. And at the end of that is a little plant, and it's just very cute, kind of like a house plant. But the reality is it'll grow really well outdoors as a ground cover. So I know you can get it a lot cheaper as a house plant than you can as a fully grown landscape plant. So it's sort of like, you know, when you buy spices. Did you notice that in the baking aisle, the spices are real expensive, but you go to the international or the ethnic aisle, they're like a third the cost. And it's the same way with houseplants. I always get the smallest plant possible. No sense in buying a 1 gallon plant when you can buy one as in a 4-inch for a quarter of the cost. And then by the end of the season, have it full grown. So you've saved all that money. So those labels are very good labels, especially for the houseplant, because it says full sun, part shade, deep shade. Unfortunately, the way most people find out whether that plant's going to live or not is plant it and then see if it dies. Have you ever done that before? I've done that before.
More times than I care to admit.
Yeah.
More than I
so
can admit. Yeah.
I learned a new phrase last week, and it said, gardeners are always beginners.
Uh-huh.
And it's so true. Think
yeah.
about that. I mean, I've been growing mm-hmm. plants for, you know, 55 years probably, and maybe 60 years. And every day I learn something new about a plant, or how to handle a specific plant, or what a plant needs. So, unfortunately, with some of these plants, like the ones you show, you have a waffle plant, variegated waffle plant. Well, that can't take any full sun whatsoever. It's part shade. So you can plant it underneath an oak tree. You know, it gets that dapple shade during the day. Or it will grow in really, really deep shade as well.
Really?
So it may be a great house plant, but like I said, many of these things you can plant outdoors very easily here in Central Florida, and it'll succeed. You know, there's a difference between thriving and surviving, and so many of these plants that people try will, you know, they'll survive, but they're not really happy and they're not doing their best. We're looking for those plants that'll thrive. And there's a lot of them that'll grow here, that's for sure. At Lou Gardens, we have over 6,500 different plants. So we're testament to stuff grows pretty well here.
That's good to know. And you guys do a beautiful job out there.
No, thank you.
One of the things in terms of my outdoor stuff is I was originally like hand watering and then tried to do it around the same time each day. We had a garden before a couple times, and it was okay, but we really didn't keep it up, and we didn't also have the pallets. What we did is kind of carved out an area and put down weed suppressant, and then we put the pallets, and then we, you know, filled the pallets and everything, and did a mixture with black cow and some fertilizer and other stuff, and put that down. But didn't really have like a, we don't have a sprinkler system. I wish we did. So I was hand watering for about an hour a day for the first week, you know, Monday through Friday. And then I said I was going to try to wean off that. And I didn't on purpose, and I'll ask you about this. I did on purpose did not do the weekends so much, especially after that first week, because I was thinking about what you said about a guy's yard, that when he went away or something for a while and came back, and the way the yard looked, because it wasn't getting the water that he was, that it was accustomed to.
Right.
So I figured if I watered during the week and maybe did not water on the weekends, just in case I go away for the weekends, that I was kind of training my plants. Is there such a thing?
Sure. I don't know that you need to water them every other day either. Somewhere in your garden, there's going to be a plant that wilts before all the other plants in the garden wilt.
Okay.
And that's what I call an indicator plant.
Ah.
And that, you have to keep your eye, and you probably know which plant I'm talking about. It could be a vine, it could be a tree, it could be anything. But it always goes droopy before anything else in the garden. And that's what we call the indicator plant. And when, you know, wilting is not a bad thing. Plants
okay.
are not hurt by plants wilting. Now, obviously, if they go too far, they're going to die. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, just when you see them start to wilt just a little bit, that's when you need to water your garden. And maybe your turf, too. But look for those indicator plants. It's one of those things that we ask people to look for when they begin working in their garden. One, what plant out there droops before every other, because that's going to be the plant you need to watch so you know when to water. And two, you know, don't – a lot of people overwater. And like I said, that guy next door – watered every day, and then when he went away and the irrigation system went out, his whole yard died. So you don't want to
mm-hmm.
do that. You want to be responsible and make sure you water only when the plants need it. So I really encourage people to turn the irrigation system off. Just leave it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the plants, one of those plants start to droop a little bit, then water the daylights out of it. And don't just water for 5 minutes. You have to make sure
mm-hmm.
whatever water you apply really soaks down into the ground. And it may be that you have to go through an entire cycle,
mm-hmm.
water everything, and then wait for it to rest a little bit and then water it again. The whole idea is trying to get that water nice and deep, and those roots will follow. So I can't tell you, because I've never seen your garden, I can't tell you whether you should water every other day or every 3 days or once a week. It really depends on drainage and the types of plants you have and how much sunlight you have. So I don't
okay.
mean to confuse the issue, but that's what...
No, that's fine. That's fine. Now, it is on kind of a slight slope. So I was figuring it, in a way that might be good, because, you know, any excess water might just drain off. I don't know if that's, you know, if that's the right thing to do or not. But, I mean, it's not as steep, because I put it on an area that's not that steep, and tried to, and when I dug it out, you know, just try to make sure it wasn't that steep. But it is at a slight slope so that,
yep,
you know, some of the water does kind of go down. And I was hoping that would help with not drowning the plants too terribly much.
You don't want it to run off. You want it to, mm-hmm, you know, absorb into the soil. But,
right,
you know, this rain that we just had helps immeasurably because it's just a good soaker. And the mere weight of the water will,
mm-hmm,
force whatever water is already there deeper into the ground. And I learned this the hard way when I changed my lawn from St. Augustine turf to Bahia turf, because it's a lot less trouble and it doesn't require nearly the fertilizer and everything that it does. So I was watering, but apparently it just wasn't watering enough. So I talked to my good friends over at Sunnyland Fertilizer. They're here,
mm-hmm,
in Sanford. And they said, you know, when you apply the water, if you apply so many gallons per square foot, the more water you apply, the sheer weight of the water that you apply forces the water that's already there deeper into the soil. So the water, obviously, has weight, and the weight forces that water deep, deep, deep into the soil. So you don't want to just water a little bit and have all that water in the top inch or so. You want to add water and force whatever water's there deeper into the soil. And that's what the plants really enjoy. They like their roots going nice and deep.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. I am here with Mr. Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. This is Friday in the Garden on Bees Power Hour. And if you have questions for Robert, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good morning and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Here with Mr. Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida, and I'm picking his brain a little bit since I got him with him about my coronavirus garden, as I call it. But I was planning on kind of getting started back on my garden anyway, but now that we have the time, I've actually decided to really go for it. And got my pallets and everything. I had already had them, so that was a good thing. So now, one of the things also, you talked about the sensitivity of tomato plants, and my husband, I guess he didn't think that I wanted tomato or I don't know what, but he ended up getting a tomato plant, and it got planted kind of on the side of the pallets and everything. But you have spoken about the sensitivity of tomatoes and sometimes the difficulty of growing them. Can you talk about that a little bit further?
Well, yeah, I can, because this is the time of the year that your tomato plants are going to really start going downhill. You aren't going to get a lot of flowers, and what flowers you do have won't pollinate themselves. Because when these daytime temperatures get above 85 degrees, the pollen on the tomato plants gets sticky. and they're self-pollinated. So when it gets hot and the pollen gets sticky, they don't move around, and your tomatoes will basically just shut down. So your big tomatoes, the ones that you one slice on a piece of bread, those will shut down when temperatures get high. So having said that, there are lots and lots of different varieties of tomatoes that are sometimes called cherry tomatoes that will produce 12 months of the year here. I'm not sure why they grow in the summer with sticky pollen. I don't know. But I have, we've grown tomatoes here at Lou Gardens year-round. And in the summertime, from May through September, October, we grow those tomatoes that we call cherry tomatoes. So one of my favorite varieties, it's very, very easy to grow from seed, is called Gardener's Delight. And it produces really well, and it produces tomatoes that are just a little bit smaller than a golf ball. So instead of, one bite, maybe it's a two-bite tomato, but they're very, very easy to grow, very prolific. One family of four would only need one plant because they produce lots and lots of tomatoes. The other one that you would want to grow is one called yellow pear tomato. And the yellow pear tomatoes, as the name implies, are yellow and they're pear-shaped, about the size of a cherry tomato. And they're extremely prolific. And again, one family only needs one plant. If you plant more, you won't be able to give them away. People won't answer the door when you come up with a basket of tomatoes. So those two are very good. And, of course, there's two others that are typically grown in Florida during the summer. Well, 12 months of the year. One is called Super Sweet or Sweet 100s. And those produce little tiny tomatoes the size of a thumbnail. And they come probably six or seven to a cluster. And those are very, very easy to grow. The other one is a little more difficult to find. But if you have gardening friends, they may share these with you. It's a variety of tomato that is native and heirloom strictly to Florida, and it's called Everglades. It's a tiny, tiny little tomato, maybe the size of your forefinger fingernail. Tiny, maybe half inch in diameter, and they also come in a cluster of six to seven. Now, this is a vining type tomato. You can only get it if someone gives you a few of the baby tomatoes and then you save the seed, or they give you a small cutting of a tomato that they have, but you won't be able to buy it in the store and you won't be able to find seeds for it online. So those are the four tomatoes I would recommend that you grow in Orlando during the summertime. Don't try to go ahead and grow those big ones because they just won't make it.
Okay, that's good to know. So don't if by chance this thing happens to go south, don't be surprised, and maybe just try it during another time of the year.
Yeah, the big tomatoes just aren't going to make it. And just one other thing about the Everglades tomato, they talk about tomato vines. Well, this truly is a vine. And the real important thing when you work with the Everglades tomato is that you do not fuss with it. It's going to pop up where it wants to unless you plant it someplace. But keep in mind that it just goes crazy. It just grows everywhere. Last year, it grew through a picket fence into the vegetable garden, And I let it grow where it was growing only because it wasn't in the way. But okay. After a full season, it did in fact get in the way. And it was in a place where people wanted to go see other things and they couldn't because this tomato was in the way. So
yeah.
I very unceremoniously pulled the root out of the ground and then pulled the tomato plant over to the trash pile. And I actually, just to show you what kind of life I lead, I actually measured it, and it was 25 feet long.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, that's a heck of a tomato plant. So if you like it, that's fine. Just be aware that to grow properly, you, number one, plant it and don't fuss with it after that. It's going to go where it wants to go. And two, you may, unfortunately, later on, just have to pull it out of the garden because it just takes up an amazing amount of space. One single plant can easily fill a space that's 10 by 10.
Okay. So now I actually, while you were talking, I pulled up my picture so I can kind of reference what it is, a couple of things. One, my okra, I have, and maybe I should have put more space between, you know, my plants, you know, but I've just planted it in each of the slots. And I have Swiss chard planted next to my okra. And it seems like my okra has, crept over into my Swiss chard aisle. Is there an issue when that happens?
No, not really.
Okay.
It's just,
okay.
You know, the okra, if it's leaning or wandering off, it probably needs to be staked so it's easier to harvest and easier to fertilize. But it's not going to have any ill effect on your Swiss chard at all. I got a little OCD going on in my life, and, you know, my okra, if it starts to lean over, I go out there with a stake and stake it up.
Okay.
And make sure they're all, you know, nice and straight row. Like I said, I got a little OCD going. But, I believe everything, because you're having to walk up and down the rows to water and fertilize. It just makes life so much easier when things are staked and things are in straight rows.
I think that's one of the reasons I was pleased to do this with the pallets, because, you know, it does kind of give you some definition, but like I said, okay, so my cantaloupe looks okay. I got a couple of peppers that look like they're coming up, a couple of onion sections. I'm disappointed, and maybe, you know, like I said, I'm just, you know, this is the first time trying to do it this way. So I tried to do some of the red lettuce, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Nothing going on there.
Yeah, it's too hot for lettuce.
It's too hot for lettuce, okay.
Because
I do have, it looks like some romaine might be coming up, but so don't get upset if the lettuce and cabbage don't come up, right?
Yeah, the cabbage is past its season, and the lettuce is past its season. You could be growing mustard and collards and okra, sweet potatoes.
Okay, so if nothing has come up since last month, it's safe to assume that that is probably a bust and I can plant something else in that slot, correct?
That's a perfectly good assumption.
Okay. So, looks like I might have some zucchini squash that might be trying to rear its head, but the yellow squash isn't.
Yeah.
And then I had these, I think they had dried out, but I had these old bags of a couple of asparagus and some rhubarb, which I didn't know what I was going to do. But those rows are kind of idle as well. So.
Yeah, asparagus, forget asparagus here.
Okay.
It needs cold temperatures in the winter and cool temperatures at night. What was the other thing?
Rhubarb.
I am so glad that you brought rhubarb up.
Yeah, I know you like rhubarb.
I love rhubarb. I just it has an amazing flavor. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, rhubarb plants don't like the summer here.
Okay.
So 2 or 3 years in a row, I would go to the feed store and buy bonnie plants. You know, I'd buy mm-hmm. a half a dozen in a little peat cup, and I'd plant them out, and they'd last about 3 or 4 weeks, and then it was just so hot and humid, they just start to melt. And you go out there one day, boom, they're gone.
Okay. So, well, we're going to
take a break.
So I
did that a couple times.
Yeah.
And
we're
going
to take a break. I'm going to ask you a question about those. We're going to take a quick break. We are here with
I'm
going to
get
Robert
some
Bowden.
Water in the meantime.
Right, right. We're here with Mr. Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. This is G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with 2 generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720, Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon and welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thank you so much for being with us on this great Friday here in Central Florida. Yeah, a little bit rainy, but that's a good thing because we need to feed what God gave us out there. Just like we should be drinking some water, our plants need some water too. We are here with Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in beautiful Central Florida and getting some tips on my garden. One of the things, Robert, by the
can
way,
we,
you were
can
talking,
we finish on the rhubarb?
Yeah, I was getting ready to go back to that right now.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. It's okay. The rhubarb was one of those, I guess, plants or seeds or whatever that I had discovered that I guess I bought a while back and it got misplaced. It came in, I guess, a package, and so did the asparagus, that it was like a plastic bag, and it looked like it had a bunch of sawdust in it?
Yeah.
Can you talk to me about the importance of or why that was?
They have those for sale at Sam's and Costco and places like that, maybe even some of the home improvement stores. Asparagus will not grow here. Rhubarb, there's a little secret involved with that, but you know, these stores, especially the big box stores, home improvement stores, they buy regionally. So they put plants in. They buy plants for sale to the public on a regional basis. So all of the box stores in the Southeast United States, whether they're in Miami or whether they're in Atlanta, are all sent the same kind of plants for sale. And unfortunately, many of those plants that they send aren't going to grow here. So when I go to a Sam's store, for instance, I'll see dahlias and asparagus and bare root roses, and I'll see daffodils, and none of that stuff grows here. But they send it to the stores because they buy everything on a regional basis and then ship it. So you have to be a educated consumer when you go out and buy these kinds of plants because they just won't make it. So number one, save your money. Number two, let me talk about rhubarb. Rhubarb has very large leaves and thick, 1-inch thick stems, and the leaves and the roots are very poisonous, but the stems are wonderful. And usually they're used to make a salsa or some kind of topping, maybe on ice cream, or more often than not, it's used in pies. You make a rhubarb pie. And I'm a purist. Don't goof up a perfectly good rhubarb pie with strawberries. All right? I'm just saying. Because everybody's, oh, you have rhubarb, strawberry rhubarb pie. No, you don't do that. However, one of our guests last week said, I agree with the strawberries. I don't think that that's a good combination. But you might want to try peaches and rhubarb. He was from the UK. He was from England. And he said, you ought to try peaches and rhubarb. So I'm going to try that next. But
okay,
so you buy the rhubarb. You buy the rhubarb plants at the store. You plant them in the ground. And July comes and they all just melt away. They rot away. Boom, you got nothing. So you spent $4 for each one of those plants, and you just spent $25, and they're all gone. But this is, and I've done that 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
My father used to tell me the secret to a green thumb is brown knees, and this is an absolute verification of that. So I'm thinking to myself, I really want to grow rhubarb, but it won't grow in the summertime. What would happen if I sowed the seed in August or September and had them grow on just a little bit, and then around November or so, take those little plants and put them into like a 1-gallon container with some potting soil in it and grow them until maybe December or so? Put them in the garden and see what happens. You're not going to lose anything. They're a package of seeds. 100 seeds are probably $3 or $4. So you haven't lost anything. Let me tell you how beautiful these plants are. I have 6, 7, maybe 8 plants. Every one of them is still growing right now. I have harvested down to the ground on 3 different occasions. So I have more rhubarb than you can imagine. And I'm making pies. I make it for the staff. I have volunteers. I take it to family outings, you know. Everybody goes crazy over rhubarb. But this is the secret. You've got to sow the seeds in September and then plant them out into the garden in November or December, and then have them grow, and you're going to have more rhubarb, and you know what to do with. Isn't that great?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I'm making notes here, because you say, no, this won't work during this time of year, and what will work,
right,
you know, during what time of the year, so that's good to know. So
yep.
Next time we talk, maybe I can talk to you about some other stuff, because I'm going to just, there's these areas that I'm now going to declare dead. And try to put some other stuff in there. There's a couple of areas I'm not sure what I've got going on. I see something that looks like one thing and something that looks like something else. And I'm assuming one of them is maybe the plant, and the other one is maybe some weed or some grass or something. And
yep,
I guess this
yep.
is one of those cases, if you don't know, you just have to wait until they mature some more, and then you figure out what's what. Is that true?
That would be what my wife would do.
Okay.
You know, she's really big on keeping weeds in the ground if they're pretty.
Ah, okay.
I am not that way. If there's supposed to be something growing there, and I don't care if the weed is pretty or not, if it's not supposed to be there, it comes out of the ground.
Yeah.
It gets pulled.
See, my issue is that, you know, these are things that I usually see that are already picked there in a grocery store, you know. So
yeah.
I'm transitioning from the person that buys some of this stuff in the grocery stores to the person that's kind of growing it and trying to look at it from, I guess, its infancy, so to speak, and not really sure what I'm looking at because it doesn't look the same as the store. So that's why I was saying, and it, so it has, for me, it's not necessarily whether or not it's pretty. It's just a matter of I don't want to accidentally pick the plant, the vegetable plant, you know, instead of the weed. Yeah, so.
I understand that. And my wife had this conversation on a weekly basis. You know, I'm out there watering my plants by hand. All of my annuals are in beds, and I water those by hand with a little nozzle on the end of my hose. And, you know, I'll bend over and pull a weed out. And if my wife is there, you know, she usually brings me coffee and things like that when I'm working out in the garden, and or lunch or water. And, you know, she'll see me do that. I said, well, why did you do that? That was so pretty. No, it wasn't supposed to be there. I didn't plant that there. And so it can't be there. And we have these discussions on a weekly basis. How can you pull that up when it's so pretty? Because I didn't plant it there. That's why. It's it's a never 47 years. That's all. That's what happens. You know, you just keep talking about silly stuff like that.
Well, it's good that you guys can laugh about it and everything.
What's the alternative?
One of the things,
you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. One of the things too. My husband tried to help me out because I originally got. We had a fan sprinkler, I guess that's what it's called, and I was putting it there between the two pallets. That wasn't working so well, so then I tried to turn it around and make it fan out, I guess, one way over both pallets. And so he decided to put a drip system in, and we actually have kind of not seeing eye to eye all together. I appreciate him doing that. You know, it happens when you're furloughed during coronavirus. You know, he decided to get productive. There have been a couple of issues, but I think it's going to be okay. However, I personally was looking at what you all had at Lou Gardens with the tripod system or something that instead of, you know, the drip system that kind of sprinkles down. And he was saying that he didn't think that was going to get enough water. So talk to me about drip systems and what they're good for or not good for, and talk to me about sprinklers.
Okay. So we've talked about when to water, but we haven't talked about what to water with.
Right.
I'm gonna be real upfront with you. The drip system is clearly environmentally the best system you can use.
Okay.
You have a supply line that goes down the center part of the garden or your pallet, and then you have these little spaghetti tubes, and you punch a hole, and that tube goes into that hole, and at the other end of a 2 or 3 foot long pipe, a little tiny funny tube like spaghetti, is some sort of water device. It can be little streams like a spider, or it could be spray like any other sprinkler. That gets water to the roots of the plant where the plant needs it the most, but it doesn't get the foliage wet, which is ideal because if the foliage gets wet with our heat and humidity, you know, you could begin a lot of stress with that plant of getting diseases and so on, and rot and leaf spots and stuff like that. So clearly the drip irrigation puts the water where the water should be, and that's in the root zone. Plants do not need water on their leaves. You know, oh, it's so hot, I need to give them a drink. I need to cool their leaves off. They don't need that. As long as they got plenty of water, they can cool themselves down. You know, they've got the mechanism to do that, right?
Good. Good. Yes.
All right. Yes. So that's the best. That's the absolute best way. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a pain in the neck to use.
It is.
because you got to put the line out, then you got those little spaghetti tubes, and then you put those little water emitters. Some of them drip, some of them mm-hmm. spray, and
right.
you have to decide what you're growing and which sprinkler type you want to use. And then every time you change plants, you also have to change the location and the kind of sprinkler you've got.
Okay.
So, personally, and I'll refute ever having said this if you repeat it, but
okay.
I'm a big fan of what we call an impulse sprinkler.
Okay.
An impulse sprinkler is one of those things that has a little spring on it, and the water comes out, and it makes a sound like so,
yes.
you know, it goes in a circle or a half circle, depending on how you have it set, you know.
Didn't they create a dance off of that?
What's that?
Didn't they create a dance off of that?
Oh, I don't know. possibly. Yeah.
So yeah.
that puts out an amazing amount of water.
Mm-hmm.
And it keep you know, you when do you water? Do you water in the morning? Do you water in the afternoon? It really doesn't make any difference. I think people have their personal preference. I like to water in the morning so the plants have plenty of water to make it through the day. Okay?
That's
some people water
thought.
In the afternoon, so mm-hmm. when morning comes, the water's already there. It
yeah.
really doesn't make that much difference, and I've seen
okay.
studies both ways. But that impulse sprinkler, man, that thing will put out some water. And I've got 4 impulse sprinklers in my vegetable garden
okay.
at my house. And I've got them right down the center of the beds, and they go full circle. It's on an automatic timer that's battery operated. And so every day at 9 o'clock in the morning, it all 4 sprinklers turn on at the same time, water the garden. Now, I've got different plants that require different amounts of water, and I can tone down that water one place or another. If I want less water in this spot, I can turn it down just a little bit. So that's the one thing, because all food, all vegetables, all herbs, they don't need all the same amount of water.
Okay.
Cucumbers and squash use a lot more water than okra does. And lettuce uses more water than everything.
Yeah.
So you can't just water everything the same way. That's why I like to water by hand, but it takes an amazing amount of time, which, of course, no one has anymore.
Right.
So I really like those impulse sprinklers, and I put ours on a tripod only because it's up above the foliage, and
right.
it doesn't beat the foliage up as it goes around. And you can reach a lot further circle when it's up on a three-legged tripod. Now, that's an
right.
expense. That plus the sprinkler you put on top of it. But there's no reason why you shouldn't have that piece of gardening equipment for the rest of your life. There's nothing in it to go wrong. You may have to replace the sprinkler from time to time, but the actual tripod itself will last you a lifetime. Ours that we use here are made of aluminum, so they never rust. And then we get a really like $4 or $5 sprinkler head on the top, and we run it at night, so our guests don't have to walk over hoses. So we love those tripod hose and watering devices. They're great.
Yeah, I actually looked for some, and I also saw something else that I kind of liked. It wasn't a tripod, but it was like a pole that you stuck in the ground, and it had like, you know, I guess 4 different prongs on the top that I think spin around. So somewhat of the same effect, I guess.
That's good, too.
Yeah.
That's good,
and
too.
Then,
there's lots
and then
of,
he,
there's
he
lots
saw
of
something
different
ones out that, there. Yeah. He saw something that looked kind of like a sundial, I guess, or whatever. It was made of copper or something, and I guess it flips around or something, but it's supposed to be for the garden. The other thing I wanted to ask you about are these bulbs that they have. I guess you fill them with water, and then you screw it onto something that you turn upside down and stick into the ground.
Yep.
Have you seen those? Did you feel? What are your thoughts on those?
you can really overthink this gardening thing.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
I opened there's a catalog that I get called Lee Valley.
It's
a gardening,
okay.
Lee Valley. It's a gardening catalog. And they got so many absolutely worthless but sort of inventive tools and sprayers and things like that for gardeners.
And
it's crazy stuff. I get it just to show people how stupid these things are, because you really don't need any of this stuff, but some people buy it because they think, oh gosh, I have to have this if I'm going to grow this or that. People overthink gardening a lot, and I think one of the reasons guys like it, and I know that's sexist and I apologize, is that, you know, we love tools and we love gadgets, and in gardening there's all sorts of gadgets, like drip irrigation and, you know, these little things that will attract and kill slugs. And then there's these great things that you can put on your watering. So it's all gadget stuff. And you really don't need any of that. And if you're starting out and you haven't gardened before, All these little gadgets are going to just scare you half to death. Like, you have to have them. You don't need any of them. You need sun, water, and soil. That's all you need. Just stick a bean in 1 inch deep, and 2 weeks later you're going to see a plant, and in 60 days you're going to have beans that you can eat. All right? It's that simple. You have to have water, you have to have 8 hours of full sun, and you have to have soil. That's all there is to it. But boy, I'll tell you, you go to the store and there is just so much stuff you could buy to make gardening easier, to make garden better, to make your plants healthier. Don't overthink this stuff. It isn't that hard. That's why I got into it. I mean, I'm not the brightest bulb in the pack, and so I figured I could garden. I could garden, you know. But just for laughs, go to Lee Valley catalog and see all the junk they got in there. It'll make you laugh for sure.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you about something else. I wanted to ask you about water jar gardening.
Oh, I didn't talk about that up down bottle, did I?
No, you didn't.
All right,
yeah,
so you can take a 2 liter. You can take a 2 liter bottle, and you can buy a little gizmo that goes on top of it, and you stick it upside down, and it waters over a long period of time in your garden.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you could buy that little gizmo and put it on there. It's just as easy, quite frankly, to get a 2 liter bottle and stick a couple holes in the. In the screw top and put it upside down in your garden and let it water that way.
Okay.
That works really well.
Because the reason I was asking you about that was you were saying that some plants, obviously like squash or whatever, need more water, and lettuce apparently need more water than others. So I was thinking if you placed maybe some of those bulbs in some of those sections that needed more water, that might kind of help even it out a little bit.
They're really, really good for large plants in containers to water your plants when you go on vacation.
Okay.
You know,
good to know.
Or if you only get out into your garden once a week and you don't have an automatic system, you could do that. What I used to do is, you know, I would plant 3 or 4 squash plants in a circle, and in the center of that circle, I would put a red clay pot. And I would fill that red clay pot up with water. And, you know, some of the water would leak out the bottom hole, but because it's clay, it releases water through the clay, and the squash and the watermelons and the cantaloupe, they really like that when you get a little bit of water often. So you can just take a red clay pot, stick that in the ground so the rim is flush with the ground. So if you're looking at a 10-inch pot, it's probably 12 inches deep. You fill that whole pot up with water and let it water over a 2 or 3 day period. Then you fill it back up again. You can do it with anything. You can do it with a 5-gallon bucket, I guess, but that's a little deep. But those are all slow waterers, and they all work really well.
Okay. So, the like I said, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is water gardens, I guess, jar gardens. You see sometimes they will, I guess, sell plants that are, I guess, started in water or whatever. Is that something that is easy to do, that you should do, or shouldn't bother?
I'm not 100% sure what you're talking about, but if you're talking about growing fruits and vegetables and herbs in water, hydroponics, does that sound familiar?
Yeah,
so,
I guess it's kind of like the hydroponics, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little more sophisticated than just growing it in the ground, because you have to supply that plant with all of its nutrients. So, and it has to be the right pH of water, and hydroponics gets very complicated very quickly. And I usually recommend that to people who have gardened and have accomplished that and then are looking for some new challenges. And hydroponics will definitely provide that. But I don't grow it because I don't understand it. There's a lot of chemistry involved. And when I went to Florida A&M back in the 70s, chemistry was not one of my favorite classes, so I've pretty much steered away from hydroponics.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I can't really say it wasn't one of mine either. I think I did astronomy.
I tried. I really tried, but it just wasn't there.
Yeah. No, I understand for sure. So, the gardens are free, at least through the end of the month right now.
Right.
Do you anticipate movie night ever coming back?
Well, we're definitely not having it on May 1st.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we continue with, if we do open it up a little, it's going to be probably 50 people or less in a group. Which
wow.
will permit, but we're waiting, quite honestly, we're waiting to hear from the governor and
right.
hear what he recommends, because Mayor Dyer and Mayor Demings will follow those guidelines. So
right.
Definitely no movie night May 1st, but there may be classes. We're just not sure as time goes along. It's conceivable that we could have a class, and ordinarily that class would be 30 people. We could reduce it to 15 people and have, instead of 4 to a table, have 2 to a table. We just haven't gone that far yet, because we just want to see what the governor's recommendations are.
Well, I'm glad you all are still open in whatever capacity, and I thank you for joining us and indulging me today. And you know, I'm going to go back and listen to the show, because you said a lot of good stuff that I can pick up on. And we'll talk more. I should have an update for you next month.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and make sure you come to the garden and see what we're doing.
Yes, sir. Be safe and well. All right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. And thank you all for being with us. Have a very blessed weekend. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.